Tennessee just issued what state officials are describing as the nation's first commercial nuclear fusion license. And I want to take a moment with this, because the milestone is real even if the road ahead remains long. Fusion, the process of combining light atomic nuclei to release energy, as opposed to fission, which splits heavy nuclei, has been 30 years away for about 60 years now. The joke in physics circles has been a constant.
What's changed recently is the private investment landscape. Companies like Commonwealth Fusion Systems, TAE Technologies, and Hellion Energy have collectively raised billions of dollars on the premise that privately funded fusion can succeed where decades of government-backed big science, primarily the ITER project in France, moved too slowly. Tennessee licensing a commercial fusion operation suggests a regulatory framework is beginning to crystallize around what had previously been a purely experimental domain.
The details of which company received the Tennessee license and what exactly the license covers matter enormously here. A license to operate a fusion facility is not the same as a license to deliver power to the grid. The regulatory journey from licensed facility to commercially operating power plant is long and involves multiple additional approvals, but the symbolism is real. State-level energy regulators are now treating fusion as a near-term commercial reality, worth creating regulatory infrastructure for, not just a research curiosity.
Now, from Tennessee's energy future to Sony's present legal strategy, and this pivot will make sense in a moment. Sony has filed a court brief in a class action lawsuit arguing that no reasonable consumer believes they actually own the digital games they purchase through the PlayStation Store. Let that land. A company that sells you a product labeled as a purchase is arguing in federal court that a reasonable consumer should understand that purchase doesn't mean own.
This is one of those arguments that is technically defensible in a narrow legal sense and catastrophically bad for consumer relations simultaneously. Sony's legal position is that the PlayStation Store's terms of service make clear that digital purchases are licenses, not ownership transfers, meaning Sony retains the right to revoke access if it discontinues the service or the publisher withdraws the title. The legal distinction between a license and a purchase is real.
But the commercial and ethical problem is obvious. When a consumer sees a buy now button and pays full retail price, sometimes $60 to $70, the natural inference is that they're acquiring something permanent. If Sony's position is that the consumer should have known better than to believe what the button said, the question is who designed the button to say buy rather than license.
There's a larger issue about digital goods that this case is surfacing. The physical goods economy gives consumers enforceable property rights. You buy a book, you own the book, you can lend it, resell it, or burn it. Digital goods have systematically stripped those rights while maintaining the pricing that came with them. The class action is asking courts to decide whether that's deceptive trade practice. Sony's answer is essentially, the fine print warned you, which courts may or may not find persuasive.
Gal Gadot's comments about leaving Wonder Woman connect to a cultural version of this same tension between creative output and institutional control. Gadot said she departed the franchise because of how DC Entertainment handled the exits of Henry Cavill as Superman and director Patty Jenkins, who was set to direct Wonder Woman 3. The implication is that DC's treatment of long-standing talent was disrespectful enough that she felt she couldn't continue within that institutional structure.
The DC cinematic universe has been in a genuine period of turbulence since James Gunn and Peter Safran took over creative leadership and announced a full reboot. Losing Cavill was controversial. He had a devoted fan base, and many believed his Superman was underutilized. Losing Jenkins, who directed the most commercially successful DC film of the modern era with the first Wonder Woman, was equally jarring. Gadot's public explanation, whatever its legal precision, is another data point in the story of what institutional dysfunction in large Hollywood franchises looks like from the inside.